Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
On Broadway.
Welcome back. It's 17 to the hour. That's the Drifters bringing this back. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. And the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. And the one for my new book, The Third Ingredient, is thethirdingredient.com. That's with the number three. Christopher Bishop. Chris is our guest and our good friend. He's couldn't do without him. We're so happy we found him. He brings us a lot of different information, especially in the area of technology and folks, the future, because... And Chris, thanks again for being here. This is
you're
in the slot for me and what I'm trying to do here with the show. And a couple of others are in the slot for me to help people understand what's the next level of innovation, of change, of disruption that they're going to find. And I'm trying to help them understand, Chris, that for the last 30 years of technology, the next step was something we could take in stride. It was like it was the equivalent of just one more 8-inch riser, one more step. So we went from one to the other. Every new development was just one more step, and we took it in stride. We didn't think about it. Oh yeah, this is new, but I get it. It's intuitive. Okay, let's do it. I'm ready to go. Out here, write the check. But what we're facing now, Chris, and this is what you're talking about as a futurist, what we're facing now, folks, is not the next leap. It's some of it is quantum leap stuff, and this is what I'm worried about for Main Street, Chris. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. I would just expand on that a bit by saying that I think the changes were more easily assimilated or understood by a broader section of the population, because they were based on stuff that we knew about, sort of an easy, as you say, an easier.
It was intuitive.
More intuitive than it is today. And today, because the rate and pace at which technology is changing and advancing, we're seeing a smaller and smaller group of people who quote unquote get it, who really understand it, which is a drag.
That's frightening. It's not a drag to me. It's concerning.
Yeah. But I think the good news is we have tools. We have communication, global communication tools that can help us kind of bridge that gap. So that's the good news about it. But I mean, the number of people who could speak articulately about quantum computing could be counted on the fingers of one hand today.
Right. But you and I both know because of the compression of time between models, between new models, quantum computing, even with what you just said, quantum computing is going to be our reality and probably in my lifetime.
Yeah, probably. And again, it'll be – the other thing to keep in mind, too, I always like to tout is that it's incremental, right? It's not like this stuff is going to happen. Someone's going to flip a switch and we're all running our business on a quantum computer. It starts on the edge, just like, John Hagel and John Seeley Brown, that book, Power of Pull. Innovation starts at the edge and then gradually kind of works its way into the mainstream. And again, across different impact to different levels in various verticals and geographic settings. I mean, it's quite nuanced, It's not like, boom.
But what I'm concerned about, though, is my computer now, or say my computer 10 years ago, wasn't that much behind what my big competitor's computers was. In 10 years from now, my computer is going to be significantly behind Amazon's computers and Google's computers. And I'll never be able to replicate this. That's what I'm worried about. And you talk about this in some of your talks when you talk about the inexorable march of tech and its impact. I'm concerned about that. Am I justifying that concern?
Well, I think you're justified, but I think the good news is that compute power becomes a service, right? So the way you plug in your toaster, you don't care where the electricity comes from. Is it from the hydroelectric plant down the road, or is it from atomic energy across the street or whatever. You just want the electricity and you want to be able to make your toast and have breakfast and get on with your day. And I think, you know, the cloud was kind of the first instantiation of that concept that, you know, in the sort of technology.
So you're saying that quantum computing could be a concern, but it'll also be part of the utility of our connectivity.
Yeah, it'll be a service. You know, it'll be. Yeah. You won't have a quantum computer in your house, but maybe you will. I don't want to be like
not that. Not in our lifetime. I don't think it'll happen.
not in my lifetime. I mean, I don't want to paraphrase the famous quote by who was the guy? A guy who ran Digital or whatever. He's like, I picture four or five computers in the country. Or why would anyone want to have a computer in their house?
Well, how about the guy who invented the internet in 89 when they asked him, this is either Surf or the other guy, I've forgotten his name, one of them in 89, 4 years before we had access to the internet, in 89 somebody asked him, do you think regular folks should have access to the internet? And he said, what would they do with it?
Right. Well, yeah. And here we are. You know, it's on our wrists. We're wearing
it
in a watch. Yeah.
So
I think it's the power. It's how we use it, just like anything.
So you think? So you think to wrap this up? You think that the things that I'm concerned about will be somewhat ameliorated by the fact that that power will be made available to me in a SaaS. Software as a service kind of a thing.
Exactly.
Just incremental.
And you use as much or as little as you want.
Yeah.
You know?
And so we will. Yeah. And I think you're right about that. As long as that's the case. But you and I both know there's an ethical component to that we still haven't resolved yet. And it's playing out in the media right now with Google and all those guys.
Facebook.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
True.
Somebody should write a book about that. Hold on to that thought. Tim Till, Chris Bishop, and I will be right back. Chris, I need your website quickly, please.
ImprovisingCareers.com.
All right, so check that out, folks. Quick break. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.